This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. I've talked on this show several times over the last several months about college football players and whether they'll be able to get some more rights to have input into what happens to them on and off the field. Not the question of will they be paid to play, but will they at least have more of a voice in what is essentially a career that they don't get paid for. The debate over whether college athletes deserve those rights continued right up through yesterday when 76 players at Northwestern University outside of Chicago voted on whether they wanted to join a union that has the backing, by the way, of the Steelworkers Union. My next guest has been writing extensively about this story for a website called Sports on Earth. He's a former professor at Georgetown University and contributor to Washingtonian Magazine. Patrick Ruby, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
So we don't know the results of yesterday's vote, and we won't for a while, right?
No, we won't. The National Labor Relations Board National Office here in Washington, D.C., where I am, actually, the night before the vote, agreed to take up Northwestern's appeal of the regional decision that these players are, in fact, employees and therefore can vote to unionize. The results of their vote won't be opened and counted and made public until the national office completes that review process.
Now, what's interesting to me is we've got 76 guys who are all between the ages of 18 and 22, maybe 23 years old. In other words, they are part of the share everything about your life generation, you know, with Facebook
right.
and Twitter and Instagram and all the rest. Do you think there's any chance that they don't leak out to their friends and maybe to somebody else who they've or which way they voted in this?
I do think that's possible. I do think, you know, maybe in the next couple of days, over the next week, we could get sort of a rough approximation, almost like an exit poll in a presidential election, where maybe some couple of enterprising reporters there in Evanston talk to these guys, talk to people around the team, are able to sort of do a back-of-the-envelope calculation of how many guys voted yes, how many guys voted no. But obviously, again, that's different than the official result, which we won't know for a while.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the efforts by the university to squash the idea of a union in the locker room there, particularly the efforts by the coach and others to convince the guys this was not a good idea. What do you think of what the university has done?
You know, from what I've seen and heard, I think for the most part the university was within its rights under labor law to conduct a campaign of here's why you shouldn't vote for this. That's allowed. You know, they're not allowed to make threats. They're not allowed to make promises based on a vote. They're not allowed to ask people how they're going to vote. They were very aggressive, though, in terms of doing that, which I do think says something bigger. You know, when you're, put simply, when your boss is saying you don't need a union, you don't need a union, you don't need a union, you probably do need a union. The fact that they were so adamantly against it speaks to something here, which is, to me, is the power imbalance. And I'm glad when you introduced this segment, you talked about that. This really isn't a question of necessarily pay for play or not pay for play. It's a question of can these players be allowed to be paid? And even more so, like you said, do they have the rights to negotiate, to ask for things, to bargain? Or is it just going to continue to be the unilateral relationship we've seen in college sports where the schools and the NCAA, oh, and by the way, the NCAA is really nothing more than a union of schools, where
Correct. They
dictate all the rules to these athletes, so the athletes have to take it or leave it.
You know, that boss-worker analogy, I think, fits so perfectly here. And by the way, that's essentially what these players who want the union have been saying. We are employees, and we should be treated as employees, not just as if we volunteered to come out here and work 50 or 60 hours a week for no pay. But the New York
right.
Times got its hands on an email that Pat Fitzgerald, the head football coach at Northwestern, wrote to the players. And he said, quote, understand that by voting to have a union, you would be transferring your trust from those you know, me, your coaches, and the administrators here, to what you don't know, a third party who may or may not have the team's best interests in mind. I'm sure that the same sort of thing was said by coal mine owners, people who owned all sorts of factories, people who have run all sorts of businesses who wanted to keep a union out. They said, hey, look, we're the people who take care of you. Why would you want to have a third party get in between the relationship that we have?
Well, I agree with you. It's, you know, you're right. It's a classic, you know, hey, just trust us to be the benevolent dictator kind of move. And, you know, I'm not saying that Northwestern football players are mistreated in any way. In fact, if you talk to them, they don't feel like they're mistreated. But this isn't about – this is what people get confused. It's not about mistreatment. It's like you said, it's about power. It's about having a voice. It's about having rights. It's not necessarily about the terms of the deal. It's about the terms of the dealing. And that is where, you know, this is really significant. And by the way, the other thing, being declared employees in some ways is much more significant than having a union or not having a union. The fight that's going to happen in the National Office of the National Labor Relations Board is more important, I think, than whether or not these kids vote yes or vote no.
Tell me what you think happens under two circumstances. One, the kids voted no, and so there's not going to be a student-athlete union at Northwestern. And the other part of it is, what if the national NLRB says, eh, forget about this whole thing, you don't have the right to do that?
Okay. Scenario number two is much more damaging sort of to the cause of college athletes' rights. Because if that happens, this is all pretty much over in terms of being recognized by the federal government or a piece of the federal government as employees, being able to then try to unionize at other private schools or perhaps even at public schools, which are governed by state laws, and being able to turn around and use this declaration in the various antitrust cases that are being filed and being pursued against the NCAA. Because in a court of law, you know, it's one thing, you know, the NCAA for decades has been able to say, these guys are amateurs, they're student athletes, therefore we can deny them rights. It's much harder to get away with that when they've been declared employees. Your first scenario where they vote no actually might be to the benefit of this larger attack on NCAA amateurism, because if the NLRB upholds the decision that they are employees, but the students don't use it, the college, the football players don't unionize, Northwestern cannot then refuse to bargain and have this thrown into federal courts where it could end up in the Supreme Court. So that actually might be the best scenario.
Do you think that until we hear the results of this from the NLRB national office, that Northwestern might say, well, you know what, even if they don't all vote to unionize here or a majority of them vote to unionize, we certainly should have discussions with them about some of these issues. Do you think anything gets on the table while we're waiting?
You know what? I do, actually. I think things are getting on the table, not only at Northwestern, but at least to some extent with the NCAA and with these the bigger conferences that you know that are in the best position to afford making concessions to college football players and, by extension, college basketball players, and maybe, by extension, non-revenue sport athletes. Because there's so much pressure between this unionization, between the antitrust cases like O'Bannon, between the public is starting to turn and actually pay attention to this. And when people pay attention, they start to realize, wait a second, this is a very unfair situation. They know that the people who have the power in college sports know they've got to do something. What they're hoping is that they can give away some more stuff and in exchange keep all the power, which is how they have it now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will work, but I think that's the point they've been pushed to.
And with the power, the billion-dollar TV contracts, the million-dollar paychecks for coaches, the ADs who make an average of $515,000 a year, they're trying to protect their bottom line as well as their power structure here. Last thing, yep, I'm curious about here, is this going to spread to other campuses?
Great question. I really think it will. Again, this is the really important piece of the national NRB decision that will be forthcoming as well. This covers all private schools. So in Division I football, I think there's 17 schools. We've got like Stanford, Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, a couple places like that where football players there could also try to unionize. So, you know, this won't just be the end of it. And like I said, public schools are governed by state law, but there are at least 14 states that the laws are very favorable to college students who are employees of the universities also unionizing. If you talk to the people that have been involved in this push, they've already been talking to football players and others at other campuses. So I don't think Northwestern is where this just starts or ends.
No, I don't think so either. And I think that CAPA, the union for the college football players and hopefully eventually basketball players and all the rest, will be able to gain some of the power back. It's always difficult when you're in a struggle with the people who have all the power and you have nothing to eke out any kind of a victory there. It'll be interesting to see if A, the players go for it, and B, if they have the support of the NLRB. Patrick Ruby is a writer and podcast host for Sports on Earth. And I appreciate you joining me here today to talk about all of this.
Hey, thanks. I'm always happy to talk about this anytime.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Networks.